Good morning. Welcome to Hunt Springs Baptist Church. I'm glad you could join us today. Also, we welcome in with us Coolwater Cowboy Church, our sister church. We're glad you could be with us. And as we begin this morning, I'd like just to talk to you for a minute from Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through verse 21. But before we begin, I'd like to also just thank you for your prayers, the prayers that you've had for Coolwater, the prayers you've had for Hunt Springs Baptist Church. Also, the prayers that you've had for one another. I just thank you for the prayers. I also want to thank everyone personally. I extend my thanks on behalf of God and His ministry at these two churches for your continued diligence in your offerings and your prayers, the encouragement we receive. And we just thank you for that. So let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Kind Father, we come before you this morning with just this opportunity that we can go online and, Lord, just worship you together. Lord, we pray now that your Spirit would fill us, that your Spirit would connect us, even though we're not in a central location, that, Lord, we are sitting under the preaching of your Word. We are intent on worshiping you today. And, Lord, we just thank you now for your power and your presence. Pray that, Lord, you would just use your Word today to fill our hearts, to change our hearts, Lord, to draw us closer to you, Lord. Prepare us, Lord, as this pandemic will draw to an end eventually, as things will change and start opening back up. I pray, Lord, that you prepare us to grow and go to do your will. Lord, thank you for this time that we've had to slow down from the busyness of life. The time that we've had, Lord, that we could learn to spend more time with you, more time with our families. Lord, I pray that we do not take for granted the opportunities that we have, Lord, to redirect our lives towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you and you've turned to Luke chapter 8, I want to talk to you today about God's Word, about hearing God's Word, heeding God's Word, and the reason or the result that we want to learn to hear God's Word is so that we can grow and sow. As you watch the news lately, we've heard a lot about getting the economy back open, getting businesses back open, getting our lives back. I know this week I was listening as Ziggy Duvall, the president of Farm Bureau Federation, and also Sonny Perdue, the Secretary of Agriculture, both of them spoke about the emotional impact plowing under crops and pouring out milk has had on our farmers. Our farmers, they invest talent, money, labor, their passions, their time, their equipment. They invest all this. Farmers toil by their sweat. They toil by their tears and their fears. They do all this in faith that their efforts will yield a good harvest, a harvest that they can take to market so others enjoy it. To say that our farmers are disappointed that no one will see or enjoy the fruit of their labor understates the emotional experience that they're having right now. In this text that we look at today, Jesus understands how easy it was for his audience to relate to farming matters. Here, Jesus asked his disciples to consider how disappointed God becomes when we plow under the fruit of his word. In Luke 8, 1 through 21, Jesus asked us this morning to consider the disappointment God experiences when we fail to produce mature fruit and carry it to market. In Luke 8, it records there, Luke, the writer, he's recording Jesus' message about how we should respond to God's word so that we can grow and so that we can sow. Excuse me. If you will, look with me in chapter 8, verse 1 of Luke's gospel. It said, soon afterwards, this is speaking of Jesus. He's been ministering here. He's been preaching. He's been proclaiming the kingdom of God. He's been healing the sick. He has raised the dead or resuscitated the dead. He has been forgiving in this immediate context. He had forgiven this lady. He had even asked one of the Pharisees, Simon, who would be more, have more gratitude, a person that had been forgiven a lot or a person that had been forgiven a little? We see here that Jesus' forgiveness is available for all. But, you know, how much do we appreciate that? It says that soon afterwards, after he's doing all this teaching, he began going around from city to city and one village to another, proclaiming and preaching. Preaching, he is preaching, he's exhorting with God's word about God's kingdom, about God's commands. Proclaiming is a word that we get our word evangelizing. He's bringing the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand, that God is restoring things to his design. And he's preaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God. And it tells us here who's with him. The 12 are with him. That's his chosen disciples. Also, there are some women with him who have been healed of evil spirits and of sicknesses. There's Mary. She's from a town called Magdala, and that's why she's called Mary Magdalene. And from her had been 7 demons cast out. Shows just what kind of wicked state she was in, what kind of problems that she had. Says here also that there was Joanna, the wife of Cusa, and he was a steward or a houseman of Herod. There's Susanna, and many other who were contributing to the support of their own private means. Now, we don't know much about Susanna here, but we do know something about Joanna. She was probably a lady of wealth, a lady that had money because of her husband's position. So we see here Mary Magdalene, and we see a lady of wealth. Here's the good news I have for you this morning about God's Word. If you're listening to this message, or anytime you open God's Word or you hear the gospel message, the Word of God, is available for everyone and it's profitable for everyone. It doesn't matter which riverbank that you fish from. It doesn't matter which side of the tracks you was born on. The Word of God is efficient for all to be saved, for all to have a new life. And this is what we see, that they are following Jesus. They're learning from Jesus. So up to this point, they have been following, as disciples do. They had been learning from Jesus. But now Jesus is about to send them out to continue proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. What he has been demonstrating to them, what they have been learning by experience from Jesus, Jesus is fixing to ask them to put it to work, to put it into action. He's asking them, it's time for you to start learning by doing. And it says in verse 4 that when a large crowd was coming together, and those from various cities were journeying with him, he spoke by the way of a parable. Now, a parable is often described as a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But it's a little more to that. When Jesus uses a parable, we cannot push all the allegories there about the metaphor that's used in the parable. A parable is used to surprise us in some way. The parable is used as a story to get our attention, to give us a moral to the story, so to speak, but also to make us stop and think about how it applies to our life. So this was a teaching opportunity, a learning opportunity. And this parable is often called the parable of the sower, or sometimes the parable of the sower and the seed. I would like to call it the parable of a prepared heart. Of a prepared heart. Of a heart prepared to hear God's word and heed God's word so that it can grow in the kingdom of God and that it can go and sow in the kingdom of God. And so this morning as we look at this, let's see what Jesus has to say in this parable. Verse 5 says, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, or Jesus would cry out. In other words, he was telling this parable, and then he said it loud enough for everyone to hear. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, if you get this, then do it. If you understand this, apply it to your life, is what he's saying. When we come to church to hear a message, when we open our Bibles in the morning for devotion, what we understand, we need to apply it to our lives. Do we always understand everything? Not right away. But the part that we do understand, we're obligated to use it for God's glory and our good that day. And you see in verse 9 that we don't always understand. His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable means. In other words, Jesus, what are you talking about here? I don't get it. I don't understand. Jesus answered, and he said to them, you know, anytime that we don't understand something in the Bible, it's a good time for us to ask Jesus, ask God, stop, pray, ask the Lord, give me insight into this. Give me understanding into this. Help me. There's various ways that God speaks to us. He speaks to us through prayer, through His Word, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, through other believers. There are study Bibles, commentaries. You got Sunday school teachers, preachers you can talk to. You got maturing believers that you can ask about a verse. I have people come to me all the time. Or call me, and recently they'll call or text, and they start off this way. This is a stupid question, but I asked you something? And I tell them all the time, there is no stupid questions. Questions is how we learn. And this is what the disciples, they said, Lord, what does this mean? And Jesus said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is God's rule over His creation. If you've got a king, you've got a kingdom. If you've got a kingdom, you've got to have a king. God is restoring His rule over His creation. God is reinstituting His design for our lives. He is calling into His kingdom restored believers. He is restoring, He is renewing His kingdom by changing hearts that change lives. Changed hearts become obedient to God. This is what the kingdom of God is about. And the mysteries here is not an idea of something we can't figure out. Excuse me. This word mystery means something that is hidden but will be revealed. The mystery of the kingdom of God is constantly unfolding as Jesus is preaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God. Even after we're saved, the mysteries of the kingdom of God are unfolding. Every day is a brand new day with Jesus. We learn something new, and we will into eternity learn more and more about God, about His compassion, His love, His grace, His mercy, His greatness. We'll continue to learn. This mystery is an unfolding mystery that some of us who are blessed by the grace of God to hear the Word of God, to by faith accept the Word of God, by faith be saved by the Word of God, be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, renewed, restored, and revived to live a life for God. For us, this newness has come to us. We can start to understand the Word of God. But he says, but to the rest, in other words, to the others beside these closest to Jesus that he was teaching, he says that they are taught in parables so that seeing they may not see and that hearing they may not understand. From this, he is quoting from Isaiah 69. Isaiah saw the robe of the Lord fill the temple of the Lord. He saw the power of God shake and the voice of God as he sent his angel to speak to make the thresholds of the temple tremble. When Isaiah saw the glory of God, he said, "Woe is me, for I'm a sinful man." And then God says, "Who shall we send?" And Isaiah said, "Oh, here I am. Send me." And God tells him as he goes out to preach the word that the word will make ears dull, eyes blind. In other words, preaching the word of God sometimes falls on deaf ears and closed eyes. The more you preach, the more they won't listen. They'll want to do things their own way. That is another sermon, but this is what Jesus is saying is blessed by the grace of God that we hear this message. This message comes to us. In verse 11, it says, now the parable is this. So Jesus needed to explain the parables to the disciples. This morning, I want you to think about hearing God's word, heeding God's word, and then the result. If we hear, if we listen, in here we see continually, verse 8, he who has ears, let him hear. We see here that you must hear in verse 10. We see again in verse 18, whoever has ears is to listen. We see in verse 21 that you need to hear the word of God and you need to do the word of God. This idea of having a heart that can hear is so that we can respond appropriately to God. Now, there's three hearts that fail to hear the word of God. Three hearts. Now, personally, I've experienced all of these hearts. I know sometimes there's a lot of ink being spilt trying to explain about predestination, about free will, or each one of these beside the road, the rocky soil, or the thorns. Were they saved? How was they saved? Hey, here's Jesus is making a point. This is not a place to discuss this. There are three hearts that fail to get the benefit of God's word. There is one heart that responds to the word of God, obeys the word of God, and accomplishes the purpose of the word of God. So let's look at three ways that our heart can fail to be prepared to hear God's word. If we don't correctly hear God's word, we'll never heed God's word. Here it says, those that fail beside the road. Now, Luke uses three different prepositions right here. The seed fell beside the road. The seed fell on the rocky soil. The seed fell among the thorns. And then lastly, we'll get to in a minute, it fell in the good soil. So he uses different prepositions. So let's think about this. Three hearts that fail to hear God's word. First of all, a hard heart or a heart that is beside the road. Here is talking about something that was common in Palestine. In other words, the fields had paths or roads that went through them, and then the fields themselves was long, and beside these paths or roads that go through them, they was walked on, they was traveled, they become hard, they become packed. And so when the sower went out to sow, the sower would broadcast. In other words, have the seed in a bag and pull it out with his hand or in a pail and cast it like this, back and forth. And as he's casting it in the field, some of it would fall beside the road or in the hard parts of the road there. Verse 11 tells us about this parable that this seed is the Word of God. We're talking about the Word of God being sowed by who? By Jesus. And those Jesus sent to preach and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so these seeds or the Word of God, it falls beside the roadside. It is a hard heart or a calloused heart. When you talk about a tissue or something on the skin being calloused, it is because it has been in conflict or something has been rubbing against it. You might have something where you work with your hands and you end up with a callous on your hand right here. It's hard. A heart's the same way. If something has been rubbing against it, something has been working against it, like sin, like temptation, all these things in a heart that makes it hard, makes it calloused. Just like this road, it says the seed fell beside it. In other words, it hits the heart, but it bounces off the heart. The word never penetrates. It never comes in. The word goes by the wayside. It says, then the devil, who is the adversary, the deceiver, he comes along and takes the word away from the heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. It's like someone that you invite to come to a church service or someone you've been sharing the gospel with. Out of politeness, they come and they sit, but they're not willing to listen. The Word of God falls on deaf ears. It has been said later, and especially chapter 11 here, it's been said that the eyes is the window of the heart. If the eyes are the window of the heart, then the ears are the doorway to the heart that opens up that God's Word may come in and have its effect on the heart. Some people are so hard-hearted that the Word of God, they are indifferent to it. They reject it. They don't think about it. Jesus here is talking about the Pharisees, those who are rejecting His Word. They already know what they want to do, how they're going to do it. They're not interested in God's way. It's my way or no way. This is that hard, calloused heart. If you've got a hard, calloused heart, then the Word of God cannot penetrate. The Word of God cannot do you any good. Now you say, well, I know someone like that. Does that mean God won't save them? No. But that means that heart has got to be softened. And we do that by praying for them, asking the Holy Spirit to open their heart. We do that by inviting them to come hear the Word of God with us, by continually sharing the Word of God with us. But your heart, if it is hard, if you think you already know everything you need to know about life, then God's Word will fail to have its effect in your life. And most of all, the most drastic thing here, or the most devastating thing, is one day you'll stand before God, and that hard heart, you'll give an answer for not hearing and receiving His Word. Verse 13 says that those that fell on the rocky soil are superficial hearts. A superficial heart fails to provide enough root to bear any fruit. In other words, it had already said here that they didn't have any moisture because the roots didn't go deep enough. Here is a picture of what the land was like where Jesus is teaching at. There was a thin layer of topsoil and underneath it limestone. When I moved to Tennessee, around here, you know, we got red dirt, we got topsoil, then red dirt or crawfish dirt or sand. And when I moved out there, I took my post hole diggers. I wondered why it wasn't a mailbox at the house I bought. And I go out there to dig, and as soon as I stuck the post hole diggers in the ground, they went about 6 inches down and hit something real hard. I banged on it a couple of times and looked, and I'd already bent the post hole diggers. I got a shovel, scraped the dirt away. I had about 6 inches of dirt, and then I had a layer of rock about 3 inches. and another layer of rock under that about 3 inches. Another layer of rock under that about 3 inches. Here is the same picture. On this rocky soil, the seed, the Word of God falls. However, there is no root to go down to get moisture. When it sprouts up, it looks good. It looks green. It's growing. It's sprouted. But there's no root. So when the sun hits it, there's no nourishment. There's no moisture to keep it alive. It's burned up. It's quenched. And it dies. Jesus says that this is like the people that have a heart that is superficial or a heart that is shallow. When they hear the word, they receive it. Or a way to say this is they willingly welcome it with joy. In other words, it might be someone that is sitting in the congregation, the music are playing, they're hearing some familiar hymns, they're hearing some good southern gospel that they grew up on. They get emotional, they're excited. Everybody is cheering, the word of God is being preached. It comes to the invitation and they run the aisle and they're like, Lord, save me. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to do what you want to. And really, they are. They're excited. They come back for 2 or 3 weeks. Things is going good. They on a kind of an emotional high. Everything feels good. They got people calling them, telling them they're proud of them. They congratulating them. They glad that their old way of life is gone. They glad they live in a new way. But then it says they believe for a while. They don't have a heart that is letting the Word of God penetrate deep and make changes in their lives, so they got changes in their behavior to know what happens in a time of temptation. Verse 13 says, when temptation comes, they fall away from the Word of God. They fall away from God's instruction. You know, I have done all these. You know, my heart used to be hard. I mean, I believed in God. I believed God existed. But I just wanted to do things my own way. And as the Lord worked in my life some, you know, now and then I would go to church or go to revival and I'd hear the Word of God and everybody would be excited. The music would be playing and I'd like, Lord, I'm really going to do it this time. I'm going to follow you. But the very first time persecution, troubles, or trials come up, I would go back to handling them the old way, Wesley's way, instead of God's way. I didn't run to His Word to see how to live this new life that He had promised me. I hadn't fully committed to Him. And that shows us the third heart that fails to hear and heed God's Word. He said, this seed fell among the thorns. This is a competing heart. Here, what happens is the heart fails to hear and understand God's Word because God's Word is competing with the three P's of life: problems, possessions, and pleasures. Look what it says. It says, they heard, and as they went on their way, they were choked by worries. It's the idea the weeds was already there. We got all these things in our life. I call it the busyness of life, the busyness of the week. We got all these things going on. I've got problems. I got possessions. I got to worry about paying for this stuff. I got to worry about what I want. I got some things I enjoy doing, some pleasures. Lord, I'm going to accept you. Lord, I'm going to follow your word. Lord, let me just add your word on top of everything else I'm doing. If Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. When we ask Jesus to save us, to give us a new life, when we say that we trust in His Word, then His Word becomes center. His Word becomes foundational on what we do. We don't sit and hear a message and leave and forget what we've heard. This is what happens among these thorns. You got good intentions, but soon as you leave, you forget that stuff. Now, we look at the good heart. Jesus says that if you want your life changed, if you want to please God in a way that you learn to live in a new life, a life that benefits from being known by God, then you need a heart that hears. A heart that hears will heed God's word. A heart that hears will heed God's word. It says, but, or in contrast to three failing hearts, is a heart that is prepared for the word of God. This seed is sown in good soil. God has prepared that heart. There is a transformation taking place because the Holy Spirit is working in your life. When I got saved, I can't explain the conversion experience and the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in a way that makes sense on a clock. It wasn't like this happened, this happened, and this happened. In a moment, I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that I was worthless, helpless, and I needed help. When I cried out to God, the Holy Spirit regenerated my heart in such a way that in that instant, I also understood that only by the Word of God, by hearing, could faith come. And I heard God's Word. I had faith in God's Word. The Holy Spirit regenerated me to give me a new heart that could understand the spiritual things of God. And when this happens, it is a grace of God that the heart is prepared so that the Word of God can go into your heart. Somebody ought to be saying, thank you, Jesus. Because without a work of God, our hearts would never be prepared to hear from God, that our hearts could be changed and our lives could be changed. Jesus says that this seed is in the good soil. These are the ones who have heard the word. Paul says that faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word. He also goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that an unspiritual man cannot understand the spiritual things of God. It is God's grace that brings us to salvation, that gives us a heart that we understand. In Ephesians, it says it this way, we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not a result of works that no man may boast. We are His workmanship in Christ Jesus, which He prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. It is an act of God on our behalf. How we respond is the grace of God has opened our heart so that we can hear the word of God, and then we respond. We have a heart that has been made honest and good. It is prepared. It is a true heart seeking God, seeking to hear. Listen to what it says. It is a good heart, this good heart or this good soul that the word goes deep into. We hold it fast. In other words, we hold on to the word of God. We possess the word of God. We own the word of God. The word of God becomes ours. We hold on to it. We white knuckle grip it. We come to know it. And look what happens. It bears fruit with perseverance. In other words, the manner in which the fruit comes forth from the Word of God, from our hearts, is with difficult situations. When we think about the Word of God bearing fruit, it simply means that we have heard the Word of God, and the fruit is obedience to the Word of God. When Jesus says a good heart will hold tight to the Word of God, it'll bear fruit. It'll be obedient to the Word of God, what? In perseverance or with perseverance. When difficult times come, when difficult situations come, it's no longer my old way of dealing with them. It's God's new way. As Job said, though he may slay me, I will follow him. That is what Jesus is talking about here. So we see a heart that hears will heed God's word. And you say, well, how did you get back to the farmers and about the harvest? Here's the harvest of the fruit of God that He does not want to see plowed under. He does not want to see it left by the side of the road. He does not want to see it quenched by not having any root. He does not want to see his word fall among the thorns of life, the worries or the problems of life. He don't want to see your possessions take first place over his word. He does not want to see your pleasures take first place over his word. He wants to see his word grow in you so that you can go out and sow. Remember at the beginning, they've been listening to Jesus, watching Jesus. Now Jesus is teaching and explaining to them the result God's word should be having in their life so they can be sent out to what? Proclaim and preach the kingdom of God so that what? More people can come into the kingdom. Verse 16, we often stop right here, but today I want you to see verse 16. It says, now, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a container or puts it under the bed, but he puts it on a lampstand, so those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Verse 18, so take care, or this is be careful or pay attention or take care in how you listen, how you listen to the word of God. In other words, hear God's word, heed God's word. That word heed means to take notice of. So be careful. This is a command. Jesus says, take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever doesn't have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away. A hearing and heeding heart grows and sows. That's what God wants to see. He wants to see fruit produced. He wants to see the fruit carried to the market so that others can enjoy it. Here we see that you don't light a lamp and hide it. This morning I got up very early and I didn't want to wake up my wife. I got a flashlight. The battery was about out. I was trying to get some stuff there out off the desk and out of the way to go in the other part of the house. And as I took that light and shined it towards the nightstand to get my Bible, it was so dim I had to keep getting it closer and closer. But as I did, it would push the darkness away. And that's what the Word of God does in our life, is it works in our life, as it produces obedience in our life, and we go out, we're pushing darkness back away from us and those around us. It is so that we can go and sow the seed of the Word of God in the lives of other people. That's what God produces in us. God doesn't produce obedience in us just because he wants to tell us what to do. God produces an obedient heart so others can see how blessed we are when we obey God. I've told this story before. My father one time had bought me a motorcycle, and I didn't tell the rest of the story in a sermon one time before because I was using a different illustration. But basically what happened, I got an F on a history 6 weeks for history. And I don't really know what I did. Obviously, I didn't do what I was supposed to. I wouldn't have got an F. But that afternoon, I told my brother to wait till my dad had made payroll and everybody had that worked with him had gone home before he showed him his report card, because I didn't want this to happen in front of my dad and in front of the men that worked for him. But, you know, my brother, he went running out there, look what I got, Dad, because he got all good grades. Dad asked for my report card, and I was thinking, you know, what am I going to do? And I just got this motorcycle, so I said, you know, what I'll do, I'll just tell him I've heard of this. I hadn't ever really been grounded. I'd always got a whipping, but I'd heard people at school talking about being grounded. So here was my thoughts. I'll give Daddy my report card. When he asked me what I should do, instead of me going to get a switch, I'm going to say, well, here, just you take my motorcycle. I won't ride it for 6 weeks till the grade comes up. Now, when I said that to my dad, I come to understand what true love was. He said, son, do you know why I bought you that motorcycle? And I said, no, sir. He said, because I loved you and I wanted you to enjoy it. I'm not taking that motorcycle. I just want you to do good in history next time. Now, that demonstrated my father's love, and I've used that for for an application for that. I truly understood what love was. It wasn't that he loved me because I obeyed him. He loved me first. And God loves us first. But, you know, I to my knowledge, I never got another F. But here's why. It wasn't because I had the motorcycle. It was because I saw the disappointment on my daddy's face when he looked at that report card, at that F. You know, we often think that we've got to obey God or he's going to get us. That's not the way it works. A true heart obeys God because it shames us to disappoint him. Peter says that we've been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is a gift that is beyond our understanding. We should learn clearly how it is that we've been saved by grace through faith. Peter says that we have been given this gift. He says, with the precious blood, as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Christ purchased for us this life. We should be willing to live it for God, to work hard at listening and understanding God's word. Verse 18 says that we are to take care and listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. Whoever does not have, even what he has or thinks he has, will be taken away from him. I'll give you a good example of this. The worries of the world here. The rocky soil, or either the soil that is among the seed that's among the thorns. Sometimes we think that because we have come to the church service and we've heard the preaching this week, or we've heard the reading of God's word or a message on TV, we've read our Bible, that we know everything about God and everything about our life. We don't. Living with God is a relationship. It is an ongoing relationship. Do you know, if you do regular devotions, how easy it is to get up late one morning? And you'll get up late and you got to get to work. And you say, well, I'll read my Bible tonight when I get home. And then you get home, you're tired, you don't do it. And in the morning, you get up and you're kind of in a hurry too. And you want to stop and get some breakfast. And you got to go through the drive-thru. And you say, well, yesterday it was okay, I'll do it tomorrow. Before you know it, the week's gone by and you're not reading God's word. It's not pouring into your heart to give you a solid foundation of how to live life through problems and troubles. What happens is the things that you thought you knew and you had cemented in your faith, they start to fade. They start to go away. That's what it's talking about. The things that you thought you had, you're lost. You lose them. That's why as children growing up in church, a lot of times we got the foundation understanding of the Bible, but when we get to be teenagers and a little older, we start forsaking going to church, hanging around with Christians, reading God's word, praying, all the things that make us grow in our faith, it makes us obedient to God. We start substituting them with other things, and we think we can rely on the past. But we can't. We lose what faith, what strength we have. I've got, you know, people call me a lot of times and say, look, I've lost my faith. If I could just get it back, what should I do? I said, read God's word. Read God's word. Faith comes by hearing. If we get back in the word, you should make an effort. I know that churches are closed right now, but there's good preachers on TV. Not saying I'm one of them, but there's a lot of good preachers on TV. You should be listening to the word of God. You should set a time aside weekly to be under the preaching of the word of God. you should set aside time to read the Word of God yourself. When something goes wrong in your life, where do you run to get instructions about how to handle it? When something goes great in your life, who's the first person you want to tell? Who's the first person that you ask, hey, with this windfall, with this new gift I've got, how do I use it? Is it God? Is it the Word of God? Do you look there first? Do you listen and heed, which means obey? God wants us to produce fruit. Christ died to bring us the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. He wants it to go into good hearts, produce fruit, which is obedience, so that we can take it to the market. If we take the fruit, our spiritual fruit, to the market, what we're doing is going out, sowing the seed of God's Word in other people's lives. That's how the kingdom of God grows. Verse 19, it says clearly that the Word of God inducts us into the family of God. Here in verse 19 it says that Jesus' mothers and brothers come to Him, and they was unable to get to Him because of the crowd. Now, there were so many people around Jesus, and we got to realize here that some of these people believed in the Word of God, heard the Word of God, heeded the Word of God, and were going to produce fruit, obedience to God's Word. Some of them wasn't. It says His mother and brothers couldn't get there, so they went in. Someone went in and said, hey, they wishing to see you. Verse 21 says that Jesus answered and said to them, my mother and my brother are those who hear the Word of God and do it. Jesus here is not disrespecting His mama. He's not disrespecting His brothers. You know, His brothers, we learn through the Gospels, is till after the resurrection, didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't believe that He was bringing forth the truth, proclaiming the kingdom of God. Jesus says here that even as intimate as our relationship is with our immediate family, when we hear the Word of God and heed the Word of God, when we do it, when it produces fruit of obedience in our life, there is a new dynamic in the relationship that we have before and with God, with Christ. We live a new way. In Isaiah's text, God explains how His Word works. He says, for as the rain and the snow, this is Isaiah 55 verse 10, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I have sent it. Do you know that God sends forth His Word, His labor, His blood, His sweat? He sends it forth into our hearts that it may produce a crop that is a hundredfold. In other words, it produces an obedience in us that we go and share with others. And as they come to faith, as their heart is prepared for the Word of God to be heard and that they heed it, as it produces fruit in their lives, the crop is a hundredfold. We see the harvest of God carried to the market. And listen to what Isaiah says. God told Isaiah that when we heed His Word, when we hear His Word, when His Word accomplishes His purpose for which He's sent it into our heart, He says, you will go out in joy. You'll be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands.
The whole world around you will be celebrating when you hear God's word, when it produces a fruit of obedience that sends you forth doing the things of God by the will of God for the glory of God and for the good of you and the others around you. And then it says, instead of thorn bushes, the cypress will come up. Instead of the needle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. You know, when Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 3, he said that Moses prophesied that God would raise up a prophet greater than he. But the people that did not listen to Jesus would be cut off from God's people. But the ones that do listen will be gathered together as a remnant into the kingdom of God. This morning, I asked, will you heed the word of God so that you can grow and go and sow the word of God in the lives of others? Let us bow our heads. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, if your heart's just been hard and you think that you know enough and you believe in God and that's enough, Jesus says you must believe in God and believe also in me. If you know that your life is not at peace, that you don't have this joy when you go out, if you say, well, I just don't understand God's word, this morning I'd ask that you just simply say, Lord, help me understand. Lord, help me know that I need help. Lord, I know that I've not lived life your way. I believe Jesus died for me, died for my sins. I believe he lived the life I should have. He's died the death I deserve. I'm asking for forgiveness and new life, resurrected life. As you've raised Christ to life, raise me from my old ways into a new life. Help me be pleasing to you. If you're a Christian and you've lived life God's way, but you've got out of the habit of letting his word penetrate your heart, it just kind of gets tangled up in the busyness of life, or it falls by the wayside. Your heart's a little callous. It's a little hard. You got some things going on in your life that you know God's not pleased with, but you look around and you say, well, you know, the Bible was written a long time ago. Times have changed. Look, people do that now. It's okay. Hey, if it's going against the word of God, it's not okay. That unpeace, that unrest you have, that is because you're not hearing God's word and heeding God's word. Try it. Whatever's going on in your life that God's word has been speaking against, just say, Lord, forgive me, and you fill in the blank. Forgive me for gossiping. Forgive me for anger. Forgive me for doubting. Forgive me for malice, Lord. Forgive me for always blaming other people. Lord, let me right now today begin anew with you. In Jesus' name. And today, if you believe in God's word, you've been following God's word, but you've not been going out sowing God's word into the life of others, that is the purpose of God's word producing obedience in your life. Jesus says, go you therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have taught you, and lo, I'm with you, even until the end of the age. Do you want to know God's presence, Jesus' presence in your life every day? Be willing to go out. Don't put your lamp under a basket. Be willing to go out and sow the seed of God's word and pray and ask God to let you see fruit come into somebody else's life. And then you'll go out and skip like young calves in the springtime. Thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions, I'm always available. You can contact us. A lot of you got my cell phone or the church number. You can call the church number. Contact us Facebook, email. There's several ways. You can go to HuntSpringsBaptistChurch.com is our website. We thank you again for today and ask that you heed, hear, and grow and sow as you go forth next week. In Jesus' name we pray.